What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Sports Talk with Silos on the Real Talk with Silos podcast. I'm your host, Silos, and today we have our reoccurring guest, AJ. How you doing, man?
You really got to ask that question?
Yes, sir. Man, yes, sir.
Oh, goodness. Oh, fantastic. Oh, goodness. You know, what's crazy about today was I literally just, I soaked in yesterday. I know we're about to get into breaking down the game itself, but when I tell you I soaked that win in yesterday, you have no idea, just soaking in the tears of the city of Boston. Anybody that knows me, AJ cannot stand the city of Boston. Why? I don't like the city of Boston. I don't like the streets. I've been to Boston. I don't like the streets. I don't like the sky. I don't like the buildings. There's nothing about Boston that AJ likes. The only thing that I love about Boston is when they lose and I'm able to soak in all those tears, all those negative emotions. So I'm feeling great today. That literally was like a pre-workout for me, you know, just soaking that all in. That's all I have to say about that.
I'm glad to hear it, man. Yeah, I could definitely relate on that feeling, man. I'm gonna just come out and say it. The one reason why I cannot stand, there's two reasons why I can't stand Boston, and this is not the Hate on Boston podcast, but man, we're Heat fans, so we're hating on Boston right now. It's two. We have the Patriots and we have the Celtics. Two of the biggest teams I cannot stand.
Let's not forget the Red Sox.
Yeah, on your case. Yeah, the Red Sox. Yeah. And then there's two people. Well, I guess we could say one person because he's not there anymore. He decided to come to Florida now and play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady and the one, the only, Uncle P himself, Paul Pierce.
Oh, my God.
Cannot stand that guy, and I just love this. And the fact that he gets to watch the Heat destroy Boston, and it wasn't a destroy, but I'm going to keep it like that. In ESPN, he was sitting there, had to soak it all up. You know, that it is what it is, man. It was honestly, let's just dive right into it, man. I can't hold back any longer. Let's do this.
No, I mean, just right off the rip, man. What I think what was a positive sign yesterday was that Butler decided to be aggressive to start the game. You know, very first play of the game. People, in case anybody asks why I always look at the very first play, because the first play of the game, whoever has your first possession for your team, kind of tells you, you know what they're looking to do, what your team is looking to do, because your coach is not going to just go out, you know, tell you to go out there and get a bucket. They're going to design a play or something like that just to get, you know, your team going. So Spoelstra, you know, drew up something for Jimmy. Jimmy ended up making a jump shot, bank shot, which was great. So, you know, I was like, okay, so I'm looking for him to be aggressive. You know, I was looking at, you know, possibly 30 points. You know, he ended up finishing with 24. And then, you know, what my biggest takeaway, I think, from the game, aside from Tyler Hero, because Tyler Hero is going to get his own segment.
We're definitely getting on that.
But my biggest takeaway was that Boston, as disjointed as they seemed, they literally outdid us in most statistical categories. So they had a higher field goal percentage than we did. They had a higher three-point percentage than we did. They out-rebounded us.
Real quick, I have it pulled up right here. So the field goal percentage, you have 47.6 for Boston, 42.9 for the Heat. And then the three-point percentage was 14 out of 40. And then we have Miami for 10 out of 37 three-point attempts.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. Miami shot the ball abysmally from three last night. And Boston, you know, 35% is okay. you know, it's not terrible, but it's way better than 27%.
Yeah, definitely.
But Boston also out-rebounded us, all right? They out-rebounded us, I believe it was 46 to 40, if I read that from this morning. They
also 53 to 49 on Boston's favorite.
49, there you go. So Boston, those statistical categories, and also assists, they out-assisted us also. So all those statistical 28-20. All those statistical categories, Boston had it. But the one category was turnovers. And I think that's huge because that's why Heat fans need to understand why it was so close. Because when you look, you know, it felt like it should have been a blowout for Miami. You know, but for the most part, they shot well. They shot better than us from three. They out-rebounded us. They out-assisted us. But they still found themselves down 12, as much as 12 at one point. And it's because they kept turning the ball over, all right? The difference was 19 turnovers for Boston, 8 for Miami, you know? So you're not gonna win a game when you turn the ball over that much. So for Boston, they literally shot themselves in the foot last night. That's the biggest takeaway from this game, in my opinion. Aside, of course, from Tyler Hero, who was great, but Boston really shot themselves in the foot. They weren't doing well. Marcus Smart, he didn't have a great game. Jason Tatum, I mean, just went donut for the first half of the game.
Yeah, we're going to get into him too. I don't know what is going on with him, man.
And it's what I said even too the other day after game three with Jaylen Brown. I always felt like, yes, Jason Tatum is their best player, but I always felt like Jaylen Brown was their bread and butter, you know, and it's because
their secret
the game. He impacts the game on both sides of the floor, and he was horrible. You know, I mean, he had 21 points. He turned the ball over 4 times, though. He had 5 fouls. He almost fouled out. You know, you could tell he was trying to be aggressive on defense, but you know, he was fouling.
For sure, those 21 points that Jaylen Brown had, he really forced those 21 points. Because everybody
they
else
came
was
late.
Just
they
yeah
came late.
Yeah,
they definitely came late because he had that late corner three. He had 2 threes late in the game, but definitely that corner that cut it, that kept cutting the lead. And you know, so Jaylen Brown, you know, he got away from what he did in game three. Again, we talked about Tatum, and I know we'll get into that a little bit later. Marcus Smart, you know, one of the things I told you outside the podcast, I said Marcus Smart will either shoot you in the game or he'll shoot you out the game, you know. So
he definitely shot out.
He shot him out. He was 1 for 8 from three. He shot 25% on the game. He was not good at all. And if I'm not mistaken, he fouled out also. So,
yes, he did.
You know, and then, you know, look at Kemba Walker again. Kemba Walker, every time he gets to this point in the playoffs or gets somewhere in the playoffs, I think this is the deepest he's been in a playoff. Every time it seems like the lights are just too bright for him. So, you know, I think this game, in my honest and humble opinion, has mostly to do with how terrible Boston played and how terribly they showed up. But I'll say it's 50-50. Half of it was definitely Boston just did not show up. On the Heat side, I don't know about anybody else. I don't know about you, Carlos, but on the Heat side, I literally was shocked. Not how well Tyler Hero played. I wasn't shocked about that. But I was more shocked that they relied on him so much, or relied on a rookie, okay, for so much. And the reason why I say that is because you think about it. I mean, Miami won by what? By how much? By 3?
Yeah.
They only won by 3. What was it? 109, 112 or something like that?
Only
won by 3. So Tyler Hero scores 30 points, they lose that game. Tyler Hero scores 25, they lose the game. So they needed all 37 of those points. Now, the starters, you know, especially Jimmy, Bam, and Dragic, they had decent enough games. I felt like Jimmy Butler, when we needed him to be aggressive, you know, later in the game, it's like he just was hesitant. And I don't know why he wants to get everybody involved, and I understand that. But when you're the guy, and we need, now here's the thing, people may disagree, because you know he got to the foul line late. He had two trips to the foul line late in the game that literally sealed the game. You know,
yeah, for sure.
And I think he made 3 out of 4 of those attempts. Bam out of Bayou, you know, who's having shoulder issues apparently, and also something with his wrist. You know, 20 and I believe he had 12 rebounds also. So 20 points, 12 rebounds, you know, standard for Bam, you know, and then Goran Dragic, you know, with 22 points. So, you know, for them, for Hero to come off the bench and literally lead the bench, you know, without question, with 37 points, I think was absolutely spectacular to watch. I just really hope, and what my biggest thing with Miami is that, you know, we can't depend on Hero to do that again. Okay, that's a lot to ask from a rookie. So somehow, some way, you know, we have to get Jimmy more involved. We got to get the others involved, as they say. Duncan Robinson, I need him to have a game. I mean, 3 points in 23 minutes is not going to cut it. Jay Crowder didn't have a great game either. 3 points in 30 minutes. You know, as far as defense, yeah, we like what he does for us. But, you know,
yeah, real quick. Was a lot so better. Jay Crowder literally had 3 points last night.
Yeah, three points in 30 minutes. Yeah. That, and that's what I'm saying.
Went 1 for 9. That is. Mm-hmm. We can't have that from him.
You know, and the thing is that with him, we don't depend on Jay Crowder for points. Okay, let's just say it. But he's been shooting so well during these playoffs, we actually expect at least 10 to 12 points from him. Even 40, I'll probably say 12 to 14 points.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan Robinson, it's a little bit more understandable with Duncan Robinson, because when you do the scouting reports for teams, they realize that Duncan is literally a secret weapon for Miami. When Duncan shoots the ball well, you know, great things happen for the Heat. It makes things a lot easier for Miami. So, you know, the others have to step up. Jay Crowder has to step up. Duncan has to step up. You know, I think Spoelstra only went 7 deep last night, you know, so we didn't see, or 8 deep, because I think Solomon Hill played like a couple of minutes. But, you know, we didn't see.
No, actually. DJJ. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 8. He went 8 deep.
So we didn't see DJJ. We didn't see Myers Leonard.
I don't understand Kendrick that. I really don't understand why we haven't seen Myers Leonard yet. And we've seen everyone on the roster so far.
Remember, you know, Myers Leonard, before the bubble, got injured. He was injured. He was out for a long stretch, okay, before the bubble even happened. You know, so... you know, maybe it's a chemistry thing. I don't know. But, you know, for whatever reason, I just know when we make it to the finals, we'll need him for whoever, because most both definitely. Teams on the other side has size. So, but anyway, my two biggest takeaways, like I said, on the Boston side, I feel like they shot themselves in the foot, even though they beat us in every major statistical category. And with Miami, I thought they leaned on Hero a little bit too much, but you know what, when somebody has the hot hand like that, and it's a rookie, and he's fearless, and he's as confident as he is, you feed him the ball. I was hoping he got 40 last night.
Yeah, he almost did. You know, he definitely
almost
did.
But you know, that was just a great showing. And again, mental toughness. We talked about it in the last podcast. That's an intangible. Mental toughness. Miami, for this game, this was a grind-out game. I think if Miami or Spo had it his way, I think he would take a game like this, because literally it was a chess match. It was a mind game. It was just a grind-out, you know, it was a grind-out game, because Tatum got hot in the second half, okay? He finished with 28 points. Yep. Tatum got hot.
And we're going to definitely touch on that, because I was really upset when that happened. And that's more leaning towards Duncan. And we're definitely going to touch on Duncan. But real quick, to answer your question about the Heat leaning on Hero, one thing I saw last night that actually intrigued me, and it just proved pretty much to what we're preaching about culture and about how Miami is moved. Jimmy Butler, he posted on his Instagram yesterday congratulating Hero of his game. And the one thing he said was, you did the work. We just gave you the confidence. And that to me is more of them not leaning on a Hero so much. It's just that at that time, Hero was the one who stepped up and they weren't afraid to lean on him on that day. So in that sense, the way I'm taking that, you know, post that I saw and just in general, because they've, you know, in speeches and interviews and stuff like that after the game, I feel like if, let's say, Solomon Hill were to go off, and I know the reason why I'm saying Solomon Hill is because that is very unlikely for the Miami Heat to see him have a 37-point game, carry the team, especially on the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like if he were to come out and give us a big game, our team will lean on him just because of it's not about that one player. It's about us together as intangibles. And if we move together, we're going to win together. And that's just how I see it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Let me just, because I'm going to counter that with this, because I understand what you're saying, you know, because Heat culture is that, you know, it's not a one man show, whatever. But, you know, in this case, now we got to pay attention to the players. If it's Solomon Hill, that there's a problem.
No, for sure.
Okay, if it's Solomon Hill, the fact that it was Tyler Hero, I'm okay with, because Tyler Hero is cut from that cloth. Okay?
No, yeah, for sure. It was definitely a bad analysis, but it was just an example of how we work as a team. And how sometimes we're gonna need to rely on Hero, which in other cases, you're right, we shouldn't as much as we do. But at the end of the day, this just, you know, it's more kudos to who the type of player Hero is, because he's gonna come and bring you not maybe 37, but he's gonna come out and play his best every night. Every night he's gonna try his hardest. So it's like,
He was free flowing. I think with people, if anybody watched the game, I know if you're listening, you had to watch the game. But this kid wasn't just shooting threes; he was making threes. He was doing mid range. He was driving to the paint. He was reverses. I mean, he did
everything. Off the glass mid range jumper. Like,
I mean, he was in post. I mean, he had a bunch of inside out. He had an inside out style of play, which is unbelievable.
Well, since we're here, let's go ahead and let's just jump in on Tyler Hero real quick. I have his stats pulled up here. So 36 minutes, field goal, he went 14 of 21, three points taken, 10, he went 5 for 10 on the 3 points. Yes.
And I was 5 for 10.
And then so free throws, which he had two big free throws at the end of the game to pretty much almost get us over the hump to seal off the game. He went 4 for 4 on the free throw line. He had 6 defensive rebounds, which is very big for a guard, the amount of rebounds he's been doing this Eastern Conference Finals and just these playoff series in general. So he had 3 assists and then 1 turnover, and he had 37 points in total. So that's a 20-year-old, guys. 20 years old.
Yes. And then just think about what you said. He went 5 or 10 from 3, and the Heat, they shot 27%. So he shot better than the team did, you know?
Like, it's honestly crazy. Like, nobody. And to your credit, and I have to, he gave me my roses, guys. It's time I give AJ his roses.
Oh, there we go. I like roses. There we go.
You know, AJ called it that this pick in the playoffs was going to be one of the best picks for the Miami Heat. But I have to just say, nobody, and I mean nobody, would have thought that this would be the Tyler Hero we are getting this season. We saw it coming maybe later on, but his first season, this all-star caliber player. Mm-hmm. And speaking of, one of my favorite people that I've loved seeing talk about the Heat and talk about how we're goons and all this, Kendrick Perkins. I love him. Mm-hmm. But today I saw a post on Instagram from him that I kind of did not like it. And he said, Tyler Hero is another version of Mike Miller. And I'm going to tell you why that bothered me. Because
No, he did not.
Oh, it's on there. You go to Twitter right now. You guys will find it. And oh my God. That really rubbed me the wrong way because Mike Miller never orchestrated the offense the way Tyler Hero is orchestrating our offense.
It's not even close.
Not,
I mean,
the Mike way Miller, he moves.
Because he's
the
white.
It's funny you say that because right under that post, Klay Thompson tweeted those exact lines. Why? Because he's white? Like,
oh
literally.
My God.
Like,
Mike Miller, that's not even close.
Doesn't I mean, even, because... he doesn't even dribble the ball, Mike Miller, the way
Mike
that
Miller
Tyler Hero.
A catch and shoot guy. That's yeah. about it. Tyler Hero is literally a baller.
He can score from anywhere on the court. Mike Miller, if it wasn't a three, he was tying his shoes on the sidelines. He was not doing anything. All right.
No, the only thing missing from Tyler Hero's game is strong defense. You know, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I think since we're on Tyler Hero now, like literally with Tyler Hero, the only thing about his game that I critique is his defense. That's it. Because one-on-one, and it's hard to ask a rookie to be on the ball, you know, but Hero apparently likes taking those challenges. They were talking about a point in the season where we were playing Phoenix and Tyler told Butler, like, yo, let me take Devin Booker, you know, like kind of like Kentucky,
yeah, that was his favorite player growing up. And he said it in that interview, actually, after the game that we played the Suns, that he wanted to play against, you know, I just went blank. I forgot his name.
Devin Booker.
Yes, he wanted to play against him. That was his favorite. It is his favorite player, and now yeah. playing against him was like one of his big dreams. So that's why, you know, he asked that from Jimmy.
Yeah, I think too with Tyler Hero, and probably not just with Tyler Hero. Can we just talk about, and we don't have to talk about, just touch on it or just acknowledge how Kentucky breeds dogs. I don't know what is in the Kentucky water, you know, but I mean, just think about the names, AD, you know, Hero, Booker, Wall. Let's not forget about Bam. Bam is from Kentucky too. I mean, these guys are dogs, okay? Straight up dogs. Calipari, and I'm a Duke fan. I'm a Duke fan. Anybody knows me knows I'm a Duke fan. And we do not produce the NBA players that Kentucky does. You know,
Jason Tatum.
Duke arguably had the greatest college player ever in Christian Laettner. And Christian Laettner went to the NBA and just had a horrible, horrible career. You know, it wasn't even close. Didn't even measure up a little bit. But Kentucky guys? Oh my goodness. I don't know what it is about Kentucky or what Calipari puts in that water, but those guys, they breed, you know, NBA caliber type players. And, you know, just last night, just seeing Hero go off the way he did, whenever we needed a bucket, he gave it to us. We would be down in the clock. I mean, I can't count how many. I think I want to say it was three or four different times where the clock literally was under 5 seconds and Hero just came through. Hero ball just came through for us. So, you know, Hero was just we can't say it enough about him. He was just spectacular last night.
It totally. Now hold on 1 second, because we definitely need to touch on this. Duncan Robinson. All right, let's just all the kudos to Tyler Hero. Big game. We'll get back to him, but just scrolling through these stats, man. We need to talk about Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson has the potential to be the best, if not one of the best players in the NBA shooting wise. And on the floor, if he's fouling out, this man yesterday scored 3 points in 23 minutes. His field goal percentage was zero. What was 0 out of 5? 3 points, 0 out of 4. Like this is Duncan Robinson, and to me it's like there's times when he's on the floor and I'm just like, dude, I don't want him out there because he can't play defense. He literally. So there was two plays. First of all, so since we were talking about Jason Tatum and how he came up late in the end of the game, and he went on his little run. Start of that was the two fouls back to back, right off of Duncan Robinson. And it's like, in order for him to be the player that we all know he can be, defense has to be his off-season workout all day, 24/7, eat, sleep, defense. Like, that's what he needs to do. Like, you could go ahead and express, you know, your views on that. But, man, like, it was really hard watching that yesterday.
Well, here's the thing. And this is where context matters, all right? Let's talk about Duncan Robinson. Again, I cannot... 3 points in 23 minutes, obviously, for somebody that's a three-point specialist, you know, it's atrocious. And I think that with Duncan looks like he's lost a little bit of confidence. It could be either that, or it could be Boston has literally just collapsed on him as quickly as they possibly can. I think that when we make it to the finals, we'll talk about, you know, who we would rather match up with in a later time, but you know, I think he'll get more opportunities because now I think the East had the guards. You know, the East has the guard. Now, I mean, of course, Denver has that bad boy over there, Jamal Murray. But the East really has, like, we very guard heavy in the playoffs. So and Boston is very guard heavy. So, you know, I'm not surprised by Duncan's production thus far in this series. This is not a good series for him. I'm not surprised that by the fact that Boston has been able to take him out or any other team because, again, the scouting report, Miami is a much better team when Duncan is in double digits. You know, when he's scoring threes and he's, you know what I mean, we get him threes, he's absolutely – Miami is really hard to stop. It's just that simple. But – the other thing, like I said, where I say context matters, we need him on the floor. And the reason why is our starting lineup right now is Dragic, Crowder, Butler, Robinson, and Bam, right? Yep. That's our starting five, okay? Yep. Out of the five, who are you going to – there's only two players out of the five that I would not give a wide-open shot to. I would not give a wide-open – or, excuse me, wide-open three. I would not give a wide open three to Goran Dragic, but I think you could kind of live a little bit with him making a three, unless he gets hot, of course. But Duncan, I could never live with him making a three. So having said that, Spo kind of has to keep him out there to keep the pressure off the rest of his players. We know Butler can't shoot outside shots, so we need a way to make sure he's not getting double teamed in the post. We need to make sure Bam is not getting crowded in the post also. You know, so I understand why. I think Duncan has served a purpose as almost being a distraction, you know what I mean, for the defense. For the defenses out there, you know, he's served as like a distraction. Like, okay, we, you know, even though he's not doing well, we can't let him get hot. We can't let him shoot. So we still got to focus in on him. We still got to, you know, collapse on him when we can, when he gets the ball. So, you know, I'm not at the point where I'm like, okay, Duncan is such a liability that he has to come out the game. I'm not at that point.
The reason why I say that, and not to draw, you know, linears or compare one player to another. 23 minutes, Duncan Robinson had four personal fouls in the whole game. Hero played 36 minutes. You know how many fouls he had the whole game?
Yeah.
He had one. He had one foul. And to your point, they both need to excel on defense and get better at defense. But there's just some of these – for instance, this is what I was going to say earlier. So Kemba Walker was coming up. He was way behind the three-point line. And he forces up a three trying to, you know, create the call and sell it. And at that point, as a defender – you already have, I think Duncan had three fouls at that time. It was three fouls. He Kemba Walker went up and he forced this shot from the three-point line. And instead of just at that point, you as a defender need to let that happen. Why bail him out and stick a hand out to where he could just hit it? And the way these refs have been calling, they're gonna call that every time. Not only that, you're in his shooting space. Mm-hmm. And it's just certain little things like that where you are a three-point shooter, and the amount of fouls that Duncan Robinson gets while fouling a shooter, it's honestly like this is your work, this is your art. You should know this. Why is it taking so long to translate it?
But here's the thing, though. I mean, because and mind you, I mean, I'm not defending, you know, a mediocre performance. I'm not. But again, this is where I'm talking about context, because, you know, yes, you know, if you can't contribute offensively, then at least contribute defensively and don't be a defensive liability. And I completely understand that. Coming into the season, we knew that Duncan Robinson was a defensive liability. And the reason, and honestly, the only reason why he's got better at defense is he's gotten stronger. He's putting on 10 pounds of muscle. They were talking about it the other day. So, you know, and he still got some filling out to do. Him and Hero got filling out to do, you know, because they're young. So they're going to fill out, you know, and, you know, with their bodies and whatnot. But, you know, so I understand, you know, the frustration with Robinson. However, he offers so much on the offensive end, you know, where, you know, Miami, and I get it too, the fouls at times, they were inconvenient because it kept Boston in the game. It really did. It kept them in the game. But, you know, but again, if I'm Spo, I'm getting on everybody and say, listen, they've figured out Duncan Robinson, because that's essentially what Boston has done. They figured out Duncan Robinson. So what we got to do is we got to switch it up a little bit. You know, maybe, hey, Bam, you know, let's not keep running this high screen and roll, because that's what they do. That's their bread and butter between
all day, every day.
You know, they do the high screen and roll and get open. Or I've seen plenty of times where Duncan had the shot, but he lost the confidence to shoot it. So,
and
you
know, he passes, again,
he passes. So I think it's a lot. I think it has more to do with Duncan. I think it's more to do with the confidence thing. Also, too, I know you're not trying to say they're the same player, but the only reason why I don't really like the Hero-Duncan comparison is simply because Hero's game is completely different.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I know you know that, but I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to say that openly, at least for the people listening, because we understand that Tyler Hero, he has a bag of tricks, as Silos likes to say. You know, he goes definitely in his bag. Again, like I said, he can beat you with a step back. He can beat you mid-range. He can beat you from three. He can beat you driving to the lane. He's long as I don't know what. I mean, people don't realize Tyler Hero is 6'6". This is not a small kid.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And just to think of him in the coming years of building muscle and getting bigger, Tyler Hero is going to be no joke in the East.
No, he's not. And I think that the East is being served notice as we speak. Yep. That, you know, Miami is not a team to be toyed with. You know, people are saying like, oh, you know, Miami, if Miami was win now, they would trade for this player. They would trade for Beal. They would do this. I remember the Heat fans, you know, at least almost midway through the season, was trying to get Hero traded so that we could get Bradley Beal. And I'm like,
I did not understand that.
I'm like,
at
are
all.
You guys crazy? I'm like, the ceiling for Hero was way higher. And I'm like, and Bradley Beal is always already established, but I'm not taking Bradley Beal over Tyler Hero. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I got called all kinds of crazy stuff, like, you know, oh man, you don't want us to win and all that. But now I hope every one of those Heat fans are eating crow, as they say, because Tyler Hero easily has been the best rookie in the playoffs. I literally think that Duncan is going to figure it out. I think game five, I say we close the deal, get rested, let the West, you know, fight amongst themselves, especially if Denver wins tonight. The Lord have mercy, don't let Denver win tonight.
Well, funny that you say that.
Brand new fool.
Yeah, funny that you say that. LeBron does have a track record of losing when he's up 2-1. I'm just saying, that is a fact. That is a fact.
Yes.
And I see them winning again. Because why? Because how I honestly, this is my personal preference, and I know we're jumping over to the Lakers real quick. Anthony Davis kind of jinxed himself, and I know this is all hypothetical speaking or whatnot, but after you make that big game-winning shot and you're just shouting to the world that I am that guy, that I am the one, and then the next game you come back and not do jack in that game, not do jack shit in that game. I'm just going to come out and say it. Dude, you really just dug yourself in hole, because now the pressure is really not on Denver winning another game, because Denver's at the point right now where it's we play to win or we go home. They have nothing to lose.
They have literally nothing to lose. If they're down 3-1, they look at it as 0-0. Like, I mean, they did it. I mean, I can't imagine that happen. If the Lakers win tonight, I'll literally, since we're on that subject now, if the Lakers win tonight, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm not celebrating.
Oh, not at all.
Like, let's just wait until that clock has all zeros and we have more points than Denver does to celebrate. Because if I'm telling you, the Lakers did not want this matchup. In my opinion, I still say that the Clippers would have given the Lakers the business. I'm still of that mind. Even with Paul George struggling, I think that Denver was just a really, really bad matchup for the Clippers.
Yeah.
1 through 5, I just think they were. And we're seeing the emergence of Murray, so that's the other thing too. But, you know, if Denver wins tonight, if they go 2-2, man, I don't know. If I'm a Lakers fan, I'm worried, because then, okay, Lakers win 3-2. I'm going to think it's going to go 7 games. You know, and then if it goes to a game 7, Lord have mercy. You know, how many times has LeBron won a game 7? What is his game 7 record? I mean, I know he won game 7 when he was with the Heat. You know, 2013 NBA Finals. I remember game 7, 2012 versus Boston. You know, we won that series in 7 games when he had that crazy game 6. So, I mean, this is, again, you know, this is, again, going to be the ultimate test. Since you mentioned LeBron earlier, too, you better have a great game, man. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I know he doesn't listen to this podcast yet, but you better have a good game, because your legacy might be on the line. Your legacy might be on the line. I don't care what anybody
says. But you know what's crazy? I honestly, with me agreeing with you, of course, I agree with you. He does need to have a big game. But honestly, I see all this pressure, this game especially, on Anthony Davis. Because Anthony Davis last game, dude, Anthony Davis last game was out-rebounded. He only scored, and this is a lot, but he only scored 27 points. And in this team, with this lineup that they have, which is honestly
very top heavy. It's literally two people. It's literally two people. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis.
You need to have Anthony Davis and LeBron score 20. But to average 2 rebounds in a game?
They should combine for at least 60 or 65 a night.
For sure.
Davis and LeBron James. They should, because literally, because who else are you going to get points from? You're not going to really get points from Danny Green, because he seems to have, you know, floated away his game. KCP, I mean, that's the take right there. You just say the game.
And you know what's crazy? I mean, he actually had a decent game yesterday. He had 12 points. He had, you know, 3 rebounds. I have the stats pulled up. Let me just read to you what Anthony Davis did in his last game. He played 43 minutes. He scored 27 points, as I mentioned earlier. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 turnovers, and 4 personal fouls.
Now, here's the thing, though, with Davis. I mean, you said something earlier that I think I don't agree with. And, you know, you say you think it's more on AD than it is on LeBron. I won't say I completely disagree. I'll put it that way. I think it can go either way. I think that with Anthony Davis is more than just his performance. It's the fact that you forced your way out of New Orleans to get to Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like the eye, you know, it's, eyes are on you because you, you know, you kind of forced that trade, you know, to get to Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, yeah, that falls under the pressure and everything that I was saying. You know, towards AD.
You signed with LeBron's agency. I don't care what anybody says. It's not Paul Riches. It's LeBron and Paul Riches. You know, that operation they got going over there. But, like, but you know, you signed.
No shade, them, no shade, no shade.
Yeah, all shade. I mean, I got sunglasses on. All shade, bro. Like, because literally, how do you force a, how do you sign with that agency and then say, I want to go to the agency's best players team? I mean, Lord have mercy. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, of course, you know, there's no way to prove that LeBron is just so intricate. In
well, there's only one other player you could compare that to, and that was when LeBron came to the Lakers, and he didn't he sign Lonzo Ball to his company as well, if I'm not mistaken?
No, Lonzo Ball literally just joined the company. Okay, actually. That's okay. When he said that. He just joined like a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
so,
okay.
I mean, so, but again, like, you know, whatever. Let's leave it here or there because I know LeBron fans that are listening just say, oh my God, he's hating. I really am not. I just can't imagine Tom Brady creating an agency and then signing like Odell and what's my man Julio Jones, you know, to them, and then both of them demand a trade to play with Tom Brady. I just can't imagine the sports world being like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. The sports world would literally collapse. It'll be breaking news on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. It'll be breaking news on PBS, the kids' channel. It'd be breaking news on BET and VH1 if Tom Brady did something like that. So the fact that LeBron could get away with that, I will never know. That's not what we're here to talk about.
We're not here to talk about the joint company of Tom Brady and LeBron James. We're not here to talk about that.
I just cannot believe. I still am not over it, as you could clearly tell, and it happened over a year ago. But my point is, my overall point is, I think the pressure is still on LeBron James because you're supposed to be the best player in the world, you know, and the only reason why right now, Kawhi's out the playoffs, so, you know, and KD is injured because I still say KD is the best two-way player in the league right now, next to Kawhi. But you're LeBron James. You're wearing the purple and gold.
So just to clarify real quick before you continue, because I had a couple messages in our first podcast episode when you mentioned about the two-way players. Do you not consider LeBron James to be a two-way player, or do you?
No. And let's.
Well,
let's,
there you let's, go, guys.
let me just explain this, and let me explain this because a two-way player does not mean that he can play, you can play defense and you can play offense. I would say at one point in LeBron's career, the argument could be made that he was a two-way player. You know, LeBron James defensively, I think off the ball, okay? For our basketball players, you know, y'all, for our basketball heads, you know what off the ball defense means.
Yeah.
Off the ball, I've never seen the player do it better than LeBron James off the ball. Chase down.
Well, that's one compliment, you know, guys. Let's write that
blocks
down.
From behind. I haven't seen it. I call a spade, you know? On the ball, no. You know, and in my opinion, on the ball is what makes you the two-way player. When I think two-way player, I think number one, Jordan. Jordan, to me, is number one, best ever. So yeah. Nobody's ever going to measure up to Jordan, obviously, but you can see, if you use the eye test, you can look and see who was a true two-way player, okay, based on their defense and based on their offense. So I'm going Jordan. You look at Kobe, may he rest in peace, you know. Yeah. Of course, later in Kobe's year.
And we've seen that. Even if it was just an all-star game, we saw Kobe lock up LeBron, and LeBron cannot do the same.
Kobe was great. Kawhi Leonard, two-way player. I think KD is an underrated two-way player because KD is not known for his defense. You know, and really, it got put on display when he got to the Warriors. I'm throwing Wade in there. Wade was a great two-way player. You know, he leads all two guards or he's the all-time two-guard leader or blocks leader for two guard.
I miss that guy on the Heat court, man. Yeah, I miss him.
So just think about that. He passed Jordan, so you got to put him in that conversation. So and when we're talking about two-way players, we're talking about one-on-one, ball or on the ball defense, face up, you know what I mean? And same with offense, that can run an ISO and stuff like that. To me, that's not LeBron James. LeBron James, you know, in more recent years, you could ISO LeBron James. He'll just post up on you, you know, and you know, bully you to the rim, you know. But, you know, defensively, off the ball, like I said, I've never seen another player like it. Never seen another player like it. On the ball, I've seen this movie before, and I'm not impressed. I'm sorry. So I don't consider LeBron James a perennial two-way player. I just don't.
All right, so let's go back to this Lakers game. So honestly, Millsap only had 6 points, and it just what's crazy about this team, man, is that when it matters, Paul Millsap makes these big points down the stretch, or even just big plays that you sort of remember, like, oh shoot, Paul Millsap is in Denver. He's still playing in the league, and there's a lot of times where you're just like, dude, Paul Millsap's still playing in the league? Like, it's pretty crazy. You know, we had Grant. Grant went off for 26 points, and Murray went off for 28 points, you know? And then Jokic had 22 points, which, honestly, like, and this is what I was trying to tell people a lot. Denver, we were shown this against the Clippers when they shut them out and threw them out of the bubble, send them home packing. Denver is actually very deep. And right now, looking at both rosters, looking at both teams, if I were to choose as a Miami Heat fan to play in the finals, I would want to play the Lakers. I would not want to play Denver.
Wow. That's a good... I'll put it to you like this. I agree. Because Denver is a lot bigger than we are. That could work to our advantage, you know, because if we're small, that opens up Duncan Robinson to be able to shoot, you know. So I think that, but I don't think it's that big a difference, though. You know what I'm saying? I would want to play the Lakers simply for the storyline. You know, LeBron James playing his old team.
True.
But then to me, it's not going to be LeBron James versus Jimmy Butler.
Hold on. The biggest story would be Dion Waiters versus the Miami Heat in the finals.
That ain't no story, man. Please.
Come on.
We'll distract him with some gummies, man. Just let him just leave it in his room. He'll never come.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I had to throw that
please.
In. Please.
That Dion Waiters, the who? Who? Dion Waiters? Have you even seen minutes this season?
Minutes?
Nobody cares about Dion Waiters, man. Dion Waiters, I'm not worried about that. Ain't no storyline, man. That ain't no storyline at all. I don't even know why you would come out your mouth. If anything, the storyline, like I was saying, would be is LeBron James. It's not going to be versus Jimmy Butler. It's not LeBron versus Tyler Hero. It's LeBron versus Pat Riley. That's what the storyline would be, because at the end of the day, Pat Riley was not happy about him the way he left, and they haven't been cool since, you know. And you know, Pat Riley deserved more respect from LeBron James when LeBron James decided to leave. Pat Riley went to Vegas to pitch to him, and as the story goes, LeBron James had a soccer game on and all this stuff, and they all distracted while Pat Riley is trying to talk. And he says, hey, you know, could you guys turn that off? Why does the Godfather have to do all that? Now, I'm not saying, you know, oh, LeBron James should just kowtow to him or whatever, but you knew you weren't coming back the moment you lost in 2014. Shouldn't even wasted Pat Riley's time, because you didn't even listen to the pitch anyway. Now, if he knew that he wasn't going to come back to Miami, but he sat there and he listened to the pitch and then said, yo, look, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's different, you know, but he was in there. The report, as the report says.
Yeah, I was about to clear that up for you. That this has been reported, guys. This is not speculation. This has been reported.
this was reported. Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, they went up in there, said, listen, this is what we could do, blah, 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 blah. Pat Riley's making his pitch, and LeBron James and his team is sitting there watching soccer and commenting on the soccer game. And, oh, man, did you see that, blah, blah, blah. And Pat Riley literally had to say, guys, can we turn that off for a second? I got something to do. I'm trying to pitch here. He left the hotel room, got on the plane before the jet pulled off. Pat Riley got the call, So that's the whole thing with LeBron James. That's why I said it's going to be more LeBron James versus Patrick Riley than it would be LeBron James versus Jimmy Butler or even Eric Spoelstra. That might be another storyline too, because he's been wanting Spoelstra to be fired since he got there.
I honestly don't understand that.
You know why? I don't understand it either, but the only reason why it's understandable to a certain degree after the first time was because he wanted to be coached by a legendary coach like Pat Riley. LeBron James hasn't been coached by anybody special in his career. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I'm not disrespecting Ty Lue. I'm not disrespecting Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra was special, but I'm just saying nobody legendary. You know, Kobe and Jordan, they were coached by Phil. You know what I mean? Phil Jackson. You know, AI, coached by the great Larry Brown. You know what I'm saying? You got these top tier caliber players who've been coached by, Magic, coached by Pat Riley. Kareem, coached by Pat Riley. You know what I mean? You got these big time players that have been coached by legendary coaches. So I understand why LeBron wanted that. But, he tried to oust Eric Spoelstra even after we won the title. And that part I didn't think was cool. So,
yeah.
But anyway, to your original point, who I would rather want us to play. I mean, either way, I think that it's all around. It's kind of tough because,
Of
course, the easier matchup, I think, which sounds crazy, is the Lakers, because they're so top heavy. It's just two people. It's LeBron and AD.
If anybody has proven anything, Miami has proven that once you have those two-way players, or just those, even if it's just one player, we can shut them down. Just Milwaukee. Look what happened to Milwaukee. Best team in the East. We shut them down. We shut down Giannis, and they had no answer for us.
Yeah. Now, and of course, it's not to say that, LeBron James is or Giannis is a LeBron James.
Not at all.
But, as far as
cover all the bases, because I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that.
Yeah, of course. As far as the stratosphere player, that's, Giannis is in that conversation. So, but I agree. Denver is a lot deeper. That Michael Porter Jr. kid, I think that he's emerging. I'm very surprised we have not seen Bol Bol in this series.
Yeah.
I think that Denver's coach needs to go. What is it, Malone? I think that's his last name. I know he's a rookie, but he's long and he can shoot it.
Here's my question on that. I believe Bobo had a track record of getting injured in college, right?
Yes, he did. He was
so honestly, I think this is kudos to their organization. I feel like they're building up their players. What Denver reminds me of is the old basketball culture. You understand? Like old school basketball, to where when you were a rookie, a lot of times rookies didn't even see the floor the first season. They were there. They got their workouts in. And I feel like right now what's happening with Bobo is that he is getting bigger as a player. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've seen him lately, man. From the beginning of the season to now, he's put on a couple muscle. I mean, a lot of it has been too. He's probably sitting there. He's eating more and stuff like that. But he is getting – it looks like he's getting stronger. He's building up his strength. And he can shoot, man. And he can shoot. So that – I definitely see his future is going to be big with Denver, especially if they keep on going the route they're going. But I feel like they're actually playing it smart with him, because the last thing you want is, to get a player like him and then he gets hurt,
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he started the season off hurt too, so.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. So yeah, so well, I mean, we kind of switched over. We went to the Lakers, man. They're playing tonight. The game's about to start. So who do you have? Oh, it's starting right now. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
so
it started already.
So who do you have winning? Who do you have winning
I mean, I think I'm gonna take. I'm still gonna take Denver in this game, only because I think that it's. I think it's gonna be tough for the Lakers, at least, you know. You know, because now it's a little bit of a mind game now, you know, because they won the last game. They're up 2-0, you know, after a buzzer beater, you know, and they came back and won a game on you. So, you know, I don't know. I think I like Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. And solely because of the same fact that I said earlier, that LeBron does not have a good track record when it comes, you know, being 2-1 in any series. You know, just ask Dirk Nowitzki. He surely knows. And I would never forget that.
Please,
I definitely.
Don't
bring up Tony Lynn. Yeah, I totally blame LeBron for that. Haters, yeah. Come at me. I really don't care at this point. I'm going to be just real. But yeah, honestly, I see Denver pulling it, and I see a lot of people starting to question stature of Anthony Davis after this point. No ands, ifs, or buts about that. You would have to question Anthony Davis. So, with that being said, guys, I see the Heat finishing up on Friday night this series against Boston. One thing I do want to say, because we need to get into this, bro. We definitely need to get into this. What is going on with Jason Tatum? Yeah, he came back late in the game, but I feel like ever since that block from Bam Adebayo, and I've personally told you this, but you guys remember that movie Space Jam where that basketball, it will take away all the basketball players, you know, I guess you could call it NBA superpowers. Their basketball powers. I feel like that is what happened. Like, Bam just took that man NBA power with that one block, and it's just been atrocious watching this guy play. Yeah. It's been horrible, you know?
Yeah, you know, okay. So here's the thing with Tatum. I think that Miami just has done a great job defensively. You know, we got away from what we did best, game three, which is why, you know, this series is why we haven't swept them. So we got away from what we did best. We tried a lot more man-man, defense, but this zone that Eric Spoelstra has deployed, man, I mean, it literally, they have zero answer for it. Now, we talked about the zone before. You know, and one of the ways you stop a zone is, number one, you just shoot it, you know, and you make your shot, or you penetrate the zone in the middle, you know, and you do more of like an inside-outside game. You know, if you have a solid big, you know, then that'll work out for you. You know, if you have a solid or even a perennial big, that'll work out for you. You know, the zone won't work, but I think that you have a team like Boston who is guard heavy, as we said earlier, and they're small, they're scrappy, they're looking to shoot, you know, they try to drive. You know, we've successfully taken Jason Tatum out of this series. Now, some people may disagree because last game, even though he put up a donut in the first half, he came back and had 28 points.
He had zero points
in the first half. And you would think,
and
that
the whole third quarter.
Superstar, yeah, if you think my superstar would come back, you know, the way he did, and we still lose the game, that's demoralizing, man. And I think that with Tatum, I think it's more of a mind thing, also. But you got to give Miami and Eric Spoelstra credit defensively, because, you know, they've been able to take him out these games, and at least, and I won't even say take him out. I would say limit him.
Yeah,
you know, because if we say take him out, that's kind of disrespecting him. I don't think Miami has completely shut him down. They shut him down for the first half now.
Yeah,
a lot of those shots, they were contested, and Jason Tatum just wasn't knocking them down. you know, but even during halftime, I said, you know, if I'm Miami, I'm not celebrating because he's going to get hot, you know, and that's what he did. He got hot. They went up as much as two. And then Miami said, okay, you know, that's enough now. Y'all done had your fun, whatever. You know, we're going to go ahead and close this out. And that's what they did.
So real quick to close it out, what are your thoughts on, so I kind of brushed this upon you yesterday and we didn't really get into it too much, but my theory is Tyler Hero will be getting the MVP for Eastern Conference Finals.
Man, it's so hard. I he would have to have another breakout game. I'm sorry. The only reason why, now here's the thing, if he won it, I wouldn't be mad at it at all, obviously, because that means we got to the final. but if he won it from a basketball standpoint, if he won it, I wouldn't be mad at that. I just think that Goran Dragic literally has been solid for us. And Goran Dragic, I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming as far as the production is concerned. Maybe except for Heat fans. I saw it coming.
Definitely.
Remember before the playoffs even started, I said the thing that Spoelstra has to do is put Goran Dragic into the starting lineup.
That first time we did it?
And then when we did it, the first time we did it was before the playoffs started. And we only did it that one time. We didn't even do it before the playoffs.
Like, no, we did not.
He started one time. This whole season, he started one time.
Yep.
Goran Dragic did one time.
So his first start was actually against the Pacers.
See, there it is. Okay. So it was the Pacers. But literally, if you think about that with Dragic, what I always take over youth is veteran play. How talented none was. None is very talented. But what I knew was that the eye test, you don't pass the playoff level of competition that we need from a player. He didn't pass that to me. Goran Dragic does.
Yeah.
You know, Goran Dragic has been here. You know, he's had battles in Phoenix. So again, I literally said that needs to happen. And us inserting Goran Dragic into the starting lineup, that made us a completely different team. It made us a more lethal team because now you got a veteran at the point who can set other people up. You know, Goran Dragic might not be considered a true point guard, but he's enough of a point guard where he could get other people involved. And I mean, he had 29 points one game, 27 another, you know, didn't do too well. You know, the game before last, the last game he scored 20 plus again.
Yep.
So he has 3 20 plus outings versus Boston. You know, so if I did have to give it to somebody right now, it would be Goran Dragic. That's why I said if Tyler Hero has another breakout, if Tyler Hero gives me 30 points and they close the game out, I might have to argue for Tyler Hero.
I totally agree with you. I actually trying to look up his scores for the last couple games in this series. It's not really showing up.
That's fine, but I might have to give it to him. If Tyler Hero gives me 30 again, he gives me 30 plus points, and we close the game out.
So here's his stat against Boston. So his first game against Boston, he scored 12 points, but he had 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 personal fouls, 2 turnovers. Second game against Boston, he had 11 points, First game, Tyler Hero had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, so on and so forth with the 3 turnovers and the 3 fouls and the 2 turnovers. Second game, he had the 11 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. The loss that we had, game 3, he had 22 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And then this last game, he had 37 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 foul, 1 turnover. So, like, I agree with you, man. I totally do about Goran. But just the caliber of his gameplay that Hero has been so big and so such a turning point for our team, as much as Dragic's big turning points have been in his scoring, because when Dragic is not scoring, we've noticed that, you know, we can't really strive like that. But yeah, man, I don't know. I honestly think between the both of those two, because yeah, nobody else, both of those two, I really see MVP caliber fight right there. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's between those two without question. You know, and again, it's a tale of, you know, different games. You know, each game is it reminds me kind of the finals in 2017, I believe it was, where it was, or no, 2018. We'll go to the 2018 finals, where everybody, we were, you know, a lot of people were rooting for Steph to get, you know, the finals MVP. But, you know, Steph showed up first couple games or whatever, but then KD came through, you know, big. It's not like KD had bad games the first two games, but Curry stood out. But KD literally just, I mean, he just edged him out. I mean, literally just edged him out. So, you know, and it was because Steph Curry had a bad game three. You know, he had one bad game and then that was it. You know, so same thing here, I feel like, with Tyler Herro and Dragic. You know, Dragic had one bad game this series so far, and that was game three. And that was the game where Tyler Herro scored
went
game
off.
Two. And, you know, he went off. And then he came back again and scored 37. So he has another breakout game like that, like 30-plus points. I got to give it to Herro. And then, I mean, we would have to look up the stat, the youngest player to receive that award.
Magic Johnson.
I think he might be. And so yeah, it'd be for Eastern Conference.
Oh yeah, Eastern. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think he might be.
Top notch.
So we'll see.
So yeah, guys, we're gonna go ahead and end that off here. Great win, great victory, man. And I can't wait for tomorrow night's game, man. Real quick, before we end the episode today, I do want to touch base on, and AJ, I want you to jump in here too, on the events that occurred yesterday with Breonna Taylor's case. Honestly, man, I'm a loss for words. It's honestly ridiculous what is going on. You can go ahead and elaborate if you want to, AJ, because I don't want to misspeak, of course, on anything.
You know, first I want to say, you know, thank you, CeeLo's, for actually, you know, I was quite surprised, you know, that before we did this, you said you wanted to give some space about that situation, and, you know, for someone outside of the Black race to acknowledge something, you know, like that situation and seeing it as a big deal, I think it's a big deal in and of itself. So I just wanted to say first, thank you for that. That was something else. And for those that don't know, I am a Black male. You know, and I think that the situation, I mean, we can point to so many different adjectives to describe the ruling. For those that don't know, you know, Breonna Taylor was killed during a no-knock warrant by the police, and she was killed while she was sleeping in her bed.
Respectfully, I would call it a murder at this point.
Yes. And she was, EMT, upstanding citizen, no criminal record, nothing. You know, completely innocent. And, you know, essentially they were at the wrong house. And, you know, they no knock warrant, you know, they shot her, and, you know, she's dead as a result. And the AG, Attorney General the leading prosecutor in the state of Kentucky, ruled that they basically passed out, or the grand jury said that, you know, they're not indicting two out of three officers. They indicted one officer for what they call wanton endangerment, meaning that, you know, the or wanton, I believe that's how you say it, endangerment. We're essentially saying that, he's getting indicted for endangering the neighbors. So, you know, having said that, my take on it is quite simple. I believe that it's a major injustice. I believe when rulings like this happen, it literally is just it's not the exception. It's the example of what the Black community has been saying for decades. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, you know, have been saying these things to us for the longest about the justice system. And, you know, growing up, you know, you would think that things change. You know, we get a Black president, oh, things are different. And you know, it hasn't been. You know, unfortunately, our institutions have not changed, and they have not been, they have not been changed. And, you know, the main thing is, you know, I just really feel, I took this ruling very personally as a Black male, because it's like, you know, at what point does, you know, do we get justice? At what point, when will, you know, we be, you know, fought for? Who's going to be in our corner, you know, when things like this happen, you know? And it just seems like nobody is. And the people that are, they can only shout with us and can only protest with us and march with us. That's the only thing you can do. But the powers that be, it doesn't feel like there is a whole lot of help. And I just hope that, you know, I'm not on here to, you know, tell anybody to vote for whoever. You vote for whoever you want to. I just hope that whoever is in power, you know, realizes that there is a clear issue with the justice system. You know, there's a clear issue. We can point to a lot of other cases, and I get that. You know, there's, you know, one of the biggest arguments, oh, there are white people that died, or there are Hispanic people that died, and that's completely understandable, and I get that. But there's not one community that has been more maligned in this country than the Black community, you know. And as far as, you know, this situation, you know, there's an inherent distrust between the Black community and police officers. And for those that really don't understand, you got to do your history. Don't just look at the last 5 to 10 years, because that's not it. You got to look all the way back. You got to even go back as far as slave times, when runaway slaves were captured by slave hunters, you know, who were eventually given badges and given licenses to catch these slaves and either kill them or jail them, you know. So this goes all the way back, you know. That's how policing started to get some of its traction, you know. But, you know, and we won't say that policing is a direct result as slave catchers. I'm not saying that, but there's an inherent distrust between the justice system and the Black community, and it's because of things like that. So I implore people, you know, before, as they say, when somebody asks you for something, and you usually hear them say, you know, give me a slow yes before you give me a fast no. I'm asking everybody, you know, is if you're vested in it, if you're interested, if you, especially, I'm talking to particularly people that don't agree with what the Black community is saying. I'm asking you, take time to read history. Take time to go back and look at the inherent, and understand the inherent distrust between the Black community and the Justice Department. Look at the rulings, the disproportionate arrests, the disproportionate sentencing. It's literally not even close. And that's with Blacks and Hispanics, minorities, period. There's a disproportionate way of how we're sentenced and how we're approached by police, and whatnot. So I just implore people, you know, just do some research before, you know, you really, really just start saying, oh, you know, you guys are just, you know, saying X, Y, Z. No, you know, this is bigger than what it is. Then it's bigger than that. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. And, you know, I just hope that something, you know, something gives, because unfortunately, we can shout all we want, We can march all we want. We can protest all we want, you know, and even for the bad apples, they can burn down buildings all they want. The fact of the matter is that if the powers don't be, that if that the powers that be don't see an issue, it's never going to change.
Yep.
And that's just the God's honest truth. And that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you so much for that, man. I totally agree with everything you said, man. All I'm gonna say, guys, is us. You know, me personally, I'm a Latino, I'm American Latino, Cuban, Puerto Rican, and Dominican. And you know, this right here, this is where it starts, guys. Us together as Latinos, Blacks, Whites, you know, Asian, everyone. We need to come together as one, and not to say that, you know, to stop the violence, but we need to come together and come with a better solution for what's going on in this world, because this is just this. It honestly broke my heart when I heard this. And it's honestly a very touchy subject, man. And yeah, it's tough. It's a tough one, guys. But this is how we're going to end it, guys. We're going to end it on that. We have our next game. What is it? Tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
8:30, guys. We'll see. Maybe by then we'll see if Denver is tied up with the Lakers, man. And we'll see how that goes. But before we do our outro, man, just guys, remember, we're all in this together. And definitely go vote. Listen to what AJ said. Go vote, because it means something if you don't. Because if you don't, then that means you did absolutely nothing. And your vote means something. So go out there, vote, definitely. Man, go ahead. Do your plugs, AJ. It's your floor again. All you, my brother. Let's go.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, man. Again, appreciate CeeLo's for the platform and definitely for the space. You know, guys, got a single coming out next week called Almost. You know, I can't wait for that to be released. Like I said, it's just a story. Like I've been saying, it's a story that you guys don't want to miss. Also, Me Versus Me EP coming out second week of October. That should be something special. Also, I not should be. It is going to be something special, and I can't wait.
Yeah, speak it, brother.
And I can't wait to do the interview with CeeLo's. We're getting those details together now between us and Sean Patrick, who worked on the EP with me and who's actually on the single that I'm releasing also. So, you know, big shout outs to him as well. He actually has been listening to the podcast and, you know, he's feeling it. So, you know, I can't wait, you know, for that. But again, follow me on IG, AJ_SMG_. I appreciate the space again, CeeLo.
Hey, anytime, man. All right, guys, you can go ahead and follow me. You already know the Real Talk with CeeLo's on Twitch, YouTube, and all my Facebook, all that good stuff. Just look up the Real Talk with CeeLo's. Follow me over there. I'll follow you guys back. And guys, we'll catch you in the next one, man. Appreciate it. Had a great time. Peace.